Your body is not who you are. You shed it like a snake sheds its skin. You transfer the human consciousness between bodies to live eternal life.
How long have I been down?
250 years.
You are the property of Bancroft Industries. You've been provided with this body, which came equipped with military-grade neurochem and combat muscle memory.
Mr. Kovacs.
I didn't ask you to bring me back into this world.
All I ask of you is that you solve a murder.
Whose?
Mine.
This is the beginning.
Whoever murdered him must be found, or we're all in danger.
I'm gonna need access that you don't want to give. And I'm gonna find answers that you may only think you want.
Friends, enemies, people with opportunity and motive.
You can't trust anybody.
If you don't solve this quickly enough,
I'll erase you. Till the end.
There's more here than you're willing to see. The mystery needs to be solved.
Hey, Lieutenant?
You know, saving your ass is not my only job.
I like her.
This is the beginning.
I'm your host, Sully. We're here for another sit down. This time, dissecting a Netflix sleeper hit. It is the book adaptation that is Altered Carbon, best described as a cyberpunk answer to Blade Runner and then some. I brought along super mega TV show fans, Patrick Hardy. Say hi.
Hey, how you doing? Pleasure to meet you guys.
Anytime. And Sandra Williams.
Hi, how are you?
Couldn't be better.
That's good.
We need a global retrospect. And lo and behold, I don't think I've ever seen such a show that like skyrocketed. And Netflix or Wikipedia was claiming, oh, it was met with positive reviews. But every review I was seeing of the show, it was getting mocked by critics who like, I don't know if they found it confusing or weren't fans of the genre, but
I think they took a lot of teeth out of it. Personally, I think they took a lot of teeth out of it. I mean, by removing like, you know, even the rape scene, you know, as you know, the torture scene, as I'm sure you're aware.
That was one of the books.
Yeah. Yeah. That thing was like cut out, and it was like cut out before the show was even, that was like one was on the table. They were like, that had to go.
So, oh wow! So
yeah, so they took a lot of teeth out of it, I think, and like I think that, and I think the QuellQuest stuff, the what that isn't in the first book either, really.
Oh,
it's kind of a little weird, it's a little confusing, maybe.
The reviews I was reading, it just seemed like they just don't like any kind of Blade Runner or Matrix type cyberpunk show, and I was like, then why are you guys here? I thought the whole point of being a critic is to recommend something while also giving your own take, saying it's not for me personally. And this had a ginormous like ratings and audience score and just shitty critic score. So I'm just like, what's going on here?
I think also it was a little bit of the back and forth. There was a lot of back and forth and it got a bit confusing at times.
Oh, the flashbacks. Sometimes. Gotcha.
Yeah, just trying to figure out which character is who and what slave. Sometimes I was like, who is this person? Got to go back and double check who it is all the time.
Gotcha.
That's a fair assumption.
I mean, it is a lot. I did get confused at parts of season two halfway through when they introduced the politicians and everything, but what do you think some people rejected who was playing certain versions of the same character when they establish, kind of like Doctor Who, he's going to literally change his skin? So I didn't understand why some people had issues with Joel Kinnaman versus Brian Mann versus Anthony Mackie and William Lee. I'm like, well, it's Kovacs.
Yeah, I just love all of them. All of them, it's the same person. It really doesn't matter who's playing it as long as they're playing it well.
Yeah, and it's kind of a fun spot, the British, New York, or Canadian actor. You got Tamara Taylor as the lawyer from Bones. You got Max Headroom himself, you know, Matt Fuller.
Tomo Pinnicott was in the first episode.
Yeah. Halo from Battlestar Galactica, yeah.
Yeah, I love him. I got to meet him, and he's such a nice man.
I bet he is. He is just one of those, you never know if he's going to be that traitor or a troublemaker or a guy with a good idea who goes downhill. You got Kristen Lehman from various Matt Flanagan shows, and she was also in The Killing. James Purefoy hamming it up as the wealthiest man alive.
The ultimate math, man.
Yep. Deacon Lawman, who's been in a bunch of other sci-fi and action shows, and Otto Isoda, who's been on everything from Chicago Med to Django Unchained. Simon Mussek, yeah, that was a good point. Yeah, Luke Cage yourself. And altogether, it's the only thing I knew about is that they changed the interactive hologram that runs the hotel. Like, originally it was like someone else, and then they went with Edgar Allan Poe, but I can't remember who was the original thing in the books. I just seem to recall someone said it was changed up, like it was some other character, but that persona was too controversial, so they said, let's not have it be Edgar Allan Poe.
Yeah, I can't remember either. I know they made some pretty drastic changes.
Were you guys big cyberpunk junkies prior to that in general? Like, you just read anything? Sci-fi?
Yeah, definitely.
This room's full of Blade Runner and you know, Elysium and
Cyberpunk. Oh, yeah, District 9. Even The Expanse is another example where both the fans of the book and the standalone TV fans are just pleased with it. So this is kind of just the way of the future. If you want streaming to explode, you got to just have a serialized crazy mystery in the future.
What do you think of the Peripheral?
Sorry, it was...
It got canceled. That was sad.
It was the Hendrix estate. I'm just reading it now. He wouldn't license the image, so they couldn't use it.
Oh.
Okay, that's right.
Jimi Hendrix, yeah.
That makes sense. I mean, Jimmy's just too cool. I don't think he wants to hang around shady people at a hotel.
Yeah.
Shame.
It is funny when they'll say yes versus when they'll say no. But yeah. I don't know.
Like, because I mean, they definitely went over the top with the violence, like in some stuff. And then like it's like they wanted to go there, but they didn't in some places. I don't know.
I don't know if they had notes or if they just wanted to make everyone uneasy, especially in the claustrophobic just moments where he's waking up, having the memories, or being attacked by assassins
in heaven or whatever. The brothel is pretty wild stuff.
Hit in the clouds.
I don't know how
his own kind of heaven.
You really pull some of that stuff off, really necessarily. It's a little rough.
Yeah, it's a good question, because I mean, they do kind of deliberately kind of enhance it by showing how it's larger than life, and other times they kind of go for deliberately absurd just to show how it's only just an idea and concept.
You take the rawness out of it if you do that, you know what I mean? You take the soul a little bit, I think. You make it, if you really ground it and you make it as grisly as, you know, if you go there, then I think you get that, then people, I think, have a tendency to to really dig in. You know, mm-hmm. I think that's, you know, the success of, like, you know, Hostel, for instance. So, you know,
yeah, but from a Hostel,
like, really went there and like shot people, but.
I'm sure someone reined him in, I guess. I don't know. Did anyone recognize Quell, the leader of that other mercenary group, Renee Elise Goldberry? You might know her from Hamilton and a bunch of other things. But I was just kind of blown away by the gal playing the lieutenant with the police, Martha Hidrega. She's apparently a very international Mexican actress. So this has a big international kind of appeal.
I thought the Ortega character was really good.
Yeah.
You know, I thought
it's kind of everything. It's one minute it's Chinatown, the next minute it's like a police corruption and business investigation show. Then it's still a who am I, an identity crisis.
Military corporate espionage type stuff.
Oh, yeah. Especially in season two. Yeah. And all together, I just find it interesting how. How do you even write this? You know, like it's so much to just take in, let alone have to illustrate to people. So I can only imagine not just the amount of visual effects preconception, the storyboarding, but how do you even envision what will be filmed against a green screen versus what will be just all done in post? You know, just like.
I think, well, these days they rely a little bit too much on post. And I think it kills their budget in a lot of cases, personally. But
it probably does. I heard rumors of a season.
That was one
three.
Of the complaints about Marvel. So I think that's
common.
But at the same time, you see like people like The Expanse, how they executed there. Like, I think they did a great job, at least in the first season of Altered Carbon. Some of those shots at the beginning are stunning.
Yeah,
definitely.
Can't take your eyes off it.
Yeah, the cityscape shot where he walks is fantastic. But, you know,
the characters speak when they need to speak instead of over-explaining the plot to you. And
they're trying to treat you like an adult, hopefully, right?
Right. And it's definitely the most human as you're going to get for talking about cyborgs. And you know, it's like, am I comfortable in my own skin? Or am I just worried about my soul?
How about you comfortable in somebody else's?
Right. Living someone else's life, which as a result means you got to impersonate them, borrow some of their thoughts, let alone you share some of their enemies now.
not to mention the gender bending. That alone can screw a marriage up, I imagine. So,
definitely. It depends on who you are. But yeah, I mean, I love how The Verge decided to say, this has a lack of focus on relationships between the characters. What show are they watching? Like, literally, there are endless flashbacks to them having failed relationships and everything. So maybe he was just not involved or invested. I'm done.
I thought it was really sad when Ortega brought back her grandmother for that dinner, and then she says to her, "Please don't do it again." I think it's it's quite
reincarnation, resurrection is a big theme here, like Galactica, and they get real all heavy into just I can't let you go, even though I swear I'm not being selfish, but. You're saying I'm being selfish because you want to die, and I don't want anyone to die.
Elliot sitting there, seeing his daughter over and over again, even though he's suffering, and he knows that she is, but he just keeps doing it because he can't help himself.
Yeah. We are gluttons for our own punishment, in a way.
And would we really do that in real life, or would we stop it?
Yeah, we've had this when we've talked about when we lose a pet or some other just great best friend who we are their unofficial family. It's just a very emotional thing to rile up. And this is why I like hard sci-fi like this, because now we're comfortable kind of talking about something like this without getting too melodramatic or too heavy handed. And we can leave it to our imagination instead of getting carried away with a personal argument, in public.
yeah. Have you seen Dollhouse that has Dishon Larkman in it as well?
I saw some of that when that was first out, but that was kind of just a reminder of how you couldn't go anywhere without seeing some kind of sci-fi show. That was like the next best thing since sliced butter. You know, it was like it was everywhere on network, on cable, and but yeah, that was basically Josh Whedon's pet project.
Yes, it was.
It's, but yeah, I'm a big Dyken Lykman fan.
Is that how you pronounce it?
Yeah,
Lykman. How do you pronounce it?
That's right. Yeah. German descent originally.
Who would you say is the probably gives the best performance out of all these guys?
Maybe. I don't know.
No, because yeah, I think they Dyken and William Lee are definitely given career best for their own respect. But
yeah.
In general, as the best of the best, like you know them for only this role. Yeah, I don't recognize the Edgar Allan Poe guy from anything else. But
no.
It's pretty good.
I thought Anthony Mackie did a great job. I mean, he's usually in the Marvel movies. I think he did pretty good.
I crossed the stars in a colony ship before stacks were invented. I left a dying Earth behind to seed a new world. Mr. Kovach, I know what you dream of.
Your resleeving is now complete.
Bespoke design by Kamalo Bioware.
Military use only.
Rapid healing, enhanced reaction time,
among other bells and whistles.
Oh my.
Of all the godforsaken rocks we've been to, we're right back where we started.
Harlan's War?
Thought you swore you'd never return. What compelled you?
I'm still looking for her, and I can't walk away.
That's not love, it's obsession. In time, even love turns to dust.
Tuck.
Kill.
Whatever you need, whatever it costs. Cut out their stacks and bring them to me. The whole planet's going to be hunting him.
We're in danger here.
Oh, I assure you. Measures will be taken.
I can destroy you so utterly nothing will be left.
I've heard that one before.
Activate Evergreen.
Confirm.
Are you so far gone you don't recognize yourself?
How does it feel to be afraid of death again? Or is this your first time?
Oh, absolutely. I saw a lot of people who didn't like him in this, and I was like, why? Do you want him to just play Falcon? No. I've been a fan before he was even a Marvel guy.
He's fantastic in Twisted Metal, even. I kind of like Twisted Metal.
8 Mile. I couldn't believe he was in 8 Mile.
Yeah, he was in so many other movies with like Sam Jackson and even other stuff with Jeremy Renner. But no, I do need to see Twisted Metal. The actor's just, he has charisma. And I just find it so funny how people keep getting him mistaken for Jay Farrow, who can do an impersonation of him.
Yeah, not a Manchurian candidate. Yeah, he's fantastic, man.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, the remake was good. Yeah. And I don't know. I don't know why people want to just make a scene of this. I can understand if the plot didn't go the way you wanted to, but to me that just kind of feels like more of a Matrix kind of thing where people are mistaking, I don't find this interesting with, I don't know how else this ends, but I just want to complain about it.
Everyone wants to complain. I just like going along for the ride. I love watching something that has great characters and is definitely nothing like our future is ever going to be. Well, we hope it's never going to be like that, but it's just a futuristic, but the futuristic and all, like you say, all the details and the, you know, some of the scenery that they had there was just so beautiful. It was just a different change up every episode, every scene, and I just liked that.
Right? Who doesn't want to get behind that and have fun with it?
Yeah.
The fact that anyone wants to even just binge this, you know, that's already telling in and of itself.
Well, at the time, right, it was the second most expensive television show, right, after Game of Thrones, right?
Was it really?
Oh, wow.
They really did drop some money into it. So
wow. That blows my mind.
You didn't know that. It was like 10 or 12 million an episode or something.
Do you think it was the actors' contracts, or was it just more of the visual effects experience?
I'm sure the effects and all the build-up stuff.
Yeah, I hope so.
Because Thrones, I guess you could say the directors and set designs killing most of the budget.
On the stage, yeah.
That's wild.
Yeah.
That is a lot of money.
Well, and this year alone, I did see some rumors start again about a season 3. I don't know how much of that is fans starting it up or clickbait going to town or legit talk about it coming back, because Netflix seems to be the worse than Fox on the Dollhouse point earlier at canceling stuff.
There's
after
no
2 years.
Netflix is just going to own the property. For sure.
Ah.
Yeah, Dollhouse ended on such a sad note, and it was left for wanting, and I hate when that happens.
Yeah,
it's a lot to take in, because then you got to kind of reset, saying, "Well, I'm getting on with my life, even though there's no conclusion to this."
Right, lost all over again.
Oh God, don't even start with that, please. did everyone like the Altered Carbon ending though? If that was going to be the ending, would that be all right with you?
I'll take it for what it is. If they're not going to continue it, at least this needs at least an IDW or Dynamite Comics or Dark Horse like follow up somewhere along the way. Like, just I just want.
Did anybody do one? I don't even, are there comics? I don't know.
There's some comics, but they're kind of just more just.
I mean, I know that they did the animated thing on on Netflix.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I haven't seen that yet, but I want to.
I saw the anime. It was kind of a little inconsistent for me, but it was kind of more of a side story explaining some of the Yakuza bosses. But if anything, like, I would just want it to just kind of at least maybe greenlight a spinoff. Now that we kind of got the main story of the main characters out of the way, how about we do a fun just anthology?
There's a lot you can play with there. You know, needle casting something. People everywhere.
Yeah. Altogether, I mean, there's no denying that it just has a lot of appeal, and the fact that we can even just salivate about it, just like endlessly, just thinking about why this world is so fascinating, why it is just you can't just watch just one episode. I mean, I think that's telling in of itself, but. It is very dense. If you were going to introduce someone to this, what would you do to kind of keep them from being confused by it? Would you just kind of test their knowledge? Like, how big are you into this kind of subgenre with isolated cities, dystopias, and futuristic listeners?
I don't think I would even suggest it to somebody unless they were like a hardcore sci-fi fan.
Gotcha.
You know, I wouldn't suggest Blade Runner unless you're a hardcore sci-fi fan either, you know, because everybody who isn't, they hate it. Just kind of the way it goes, right? And that's sad. True. But kind of a sad thing about cyberpunk, actually.
It really
is. You're like a diehard fan, or you're just not, it's not your flavor.
Oh, totally. I see so many people who don't even seem to know what neo-noir is anymore half the time. I'm like, really? Well, that's. You named me five other well-known mystery movies and everything, but you don't know what this and that means. Okay.
Well. Yeah. Yeah, it's very sad.
I usually just say to someone, watch an episode of something and you're either going to like it or you're not. You're either going to get it or you're not.
Right. And don't act like it's the worst thing you've ever seen unless you've actually suffered through the whole thing.
Yeah, that's the worst.
I don't know, man. I couldn't get to Lord of the Rings, man. I tried.
That's fine too. I mean, see, you gave it a chance. I will suffer through a season of a show before
I'm gonna get through an episode of that one without falling asleep.
Oh well, that's fine too. Lord of the Rings is dense also, and I see it with even the Star Wars, Star Trek, Babylon 5 arguments. And, you know, it's just let people like what they like. But, you know, just if you're going to watch it, you know, do what you would do with maybe a movie. Watch it beginning to end. If you're going to fast forward, at least watch a good chunk of it before you're just like, hey, I'm tuning out. It's not appealing to me. It's pissing me off.
Yeah. Yeah. No, you give it a fair chance. I think that's a fair assessment.
Something.
I can't fast through. I'm one of those people that just has to see it through to the end,
suffer.
No matter how.
No, it's all good.
Just have to suffer for the art. I just have to do it.
Whatever you got to do to just say, "Hey, I put in the time. It paid off, or it didn't."
Sometimes yeah. Man, you just gotta watch the fawns jump the shark, man.
Oh, there you go. Happy days. No, reference. You had to have it. A happy days reference.
Yeah, man.
Well, and half the time I feel when we watch a movie or show, if we've grown out of it or not cared for it, generally I think it's because, I don't know, we expected something different. But then there's other ones where it's like, no, I knew I was cool with whatever, but that one felt like it was made up on the spot. Or like, I for instance, don't care for the ending of Sopranos because it just feels like they wanted to just piss fans off because they were tired of dealing with fan questions. It's like, well, life just ends. But yeah. What does that even mean? Mm. Just illustrate the character's life and end it. And if you don't want to end it, then I don't know. Give it to someone else to write. Shit.
Yeah.
I think maybe some of the issues come from writing by committee. You know what I mean? Instead of just giving it to one creator to go hog wild with, instead of like,
yeah, the story editor
brought things down, and nobody's as dumb as all of us, you know?
Right? Don't talk down to us and don't just abandon it. Like, hey, yeah, it doesn't matter. Oh, well, it kind of does matter. We've only invested 5 years of our life.
yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Oh man, it's wild. It's wild. What do you think a season 3 would look like, if anything? Like, do you think he would be on the run still from other people he'd wronged in the past, or helping revolutionaries fight another member of this chaotic government?
Really, the second one.
For anything, right?
Yeah.
I really, you could just literally just spin him up for anything as a hero in any situation,
Yeah, that's the only thing they were hinting at, but they didn't elongate with, was that it's not like he's the chosen one or anything, but he does seem like the guy who's an endurer, so to speak. And now that he's accepted that, like season one's pretty much him finding out all the bizarre discombobulated memories and his identity crisis and
family issues
too, right? Right, in season two he pretty much just brings the tank down, saying it's time to end all these, you know, friends close, enemies closer. I'm going to take down the corruption that I can, especially since, coincidentally, almost all these guys happen to not only be wrecking the world, but be wrecking my world. So,
yeah.
If anything, all I can say is just go a little bigger and go and fight a bigger menace. Yeah. Maybe even go after the millionaire, take over his mansion. And say, yeah, thanks for the hospitality, but you're still a pain in everyone's side.
Or how about the moment when he actually, how about a moment where he realizes he is a meth because he's been around forever?
Yeah.
Oh, that's a good one.
That would be fun. Totally. I'd say
like existential crisis.
Yeah, right. Oh,
I can see an actor eating that one up personally.
Make it. Wait. I'm surprised fans haven't done their web series version of it.
The fanfic, yeah. I'm sure it's out there. I'm sure it's out there. If we delve into it hard enough, we'd find it.
I will look for it. And if it's not, then I will co-fund an audio drama with some friends. Oh, man. Would you guys rank this, I guess, as like maybe a top 10 in terms of cyberpunk movies and shows? Like,
I put in top 10 cyberpunk shows for sure. Right.
Yeah.
It's
tough to compete with films, though. Like, because a lot of great cyberpunk films out there.
Because Blade Runner fans in and of themselves, I find a little confusing, because I saw some who loved the original but did not care for the new one, even though it was almost just as long and just as...
I'm diehard, man. I'm diehard in the Blade Runner franchise.
I guess the other question is, would some people who don't like Blade Runner probably like this? Because it seems like it's... People who like The Matrix definitely love this. And then other people who don't care for The Matrix still might like it because it's just fast-paced and they like the actors from other sci-fi horror anthology shows.
I don't know where you send people like The Matrix. I don't know if you're like a big Matrix fan, I don't know where you go from there for cyberpunk.
Matrix fans, I don't know how to interpret them either, because I see some who love the first one, hate the sequels. I'm one of those. I love the whole trilogy, but can't stand the fourth one, because I was like, why do you even bring that back?
Yeah.
I even love the Animatrix. I remember watching that the first time. And just being,
oh my God.
No, it was absolutely amazing.
Talk about anthology.
Yes, that was great. I remember watching it. I think I might have been a bit stoned, actually, and freaking out.
Hey, you know, that whatever adds to the fire.
Yeah, and then watching it again and just thinking how the detail and the story, even if it didn't make any sense, was still beautiful.
What's weird is I see a lot of religious people who don't seem to get all the Jewish imagery, and I've seen it with that and RoboCop, and I'm like, really? I thought it was blatantly obvious. He's being resurrected. He's the second coming of Christ.
Oh, RoboCop, of course, and Joel was in that as well. I actually really liked the remake of that. I thought it was different, but...
Yeah, Judge Dredd too. That's why I think I liked it. It was very much like the new Dredd. But a lot of people rejected it. They're like, it's not funny. I'm like, oh, there's still some satire. Like Sam Jackson's character is a Fox News guy, you know, and the giant corporation, instead of being, you know, an expensive corporation, is basically a Blackwater / police state. I thought that was very telling, especially for the fear-mongering that goes on today. And don't get me wrong, Altered Carbon has plenty of that too. I mean, all these mercs basically are dying for a totally different cause and trying to brainwash people endlessly. And I think that's what ultimately appealed to me the most, was that the main protagonist keeps you in suspense as to where he resides, whose side he's on. Is he loyal to the cop he has a romance with? Is he loyal to only himself? Is he loyal to his last remaining friends from another life? Or is he loyal to one of the various revolutionaries? Or is he going to keep playing them for fools until they all collapse? You know, and I got to root for the underdog.
Because I hope none of us
ever have chaotic post-apocalyptic lifestyles.
I think it's probably their best sci-fi property. Like, Altered Carbon is probably the best sci-fi property that at least show-wise that they produced at Netflix by far,
yeah.
Rebel Moon, I don't know if you've seen this stuff from that, is jaw-dropping.
I haven't. Rebel Moon, okay.
Yeah, look at the they got a 3-minute teaser out for films.
Oh, the upcoming Zack Snyder show. Yes, I did hear about this.
Yeah, this is the Star Wars script that he had and he pitched and they turned down, and then now Netflix picked up and he reworked it. It looks amazing.
It does look pretty stunning. I know what I'll be checking out. I mean, that's what people should do nowadays. That's what David Twohy did with the Riddick movies. He took his rejected Alien free script and he went bananas. He's like, okay, we got bounty hunters, we got alien creatures.
I don't know though. I think like if you're in the position like Blomkamp, for instance, on the Alien 5 script that he had, that would have been amazing. It never happened. But I think that it's probably optioned, and that's why you still haven't seen a release of it online, that actual script, because it would have existed, at least a draft at that point, because they were scouting locations.
Yeah, so, I was really bummed because basically, much like Deadpool, they put the Fox's X on the spot, and then they still didn't allow him to make it because Ridley Scott stepped in. And I don't know about you guys, I can't do Prometheus at all, but
yeah,
I understand. But yeah, it
would have been amazing. Like the just from the artwork, it was stunning.
Yeah, I mean, they could still probably do it as an anime. So I'm with you guys. Much like they've done with Halo and Animatrix, let alone all these other Marvel and DC, you know, and Star Wars legend shows, just do that with this. They should just have, you know, because Sigourney Weaver already, much like Schwarzenegger said, I'm done playing the Terminator. The last one was supposed to be the last one. Why are you asking me? Sigourney recently said, no more Ripley. So I'm like, cool. Mm-hmm. Get a sound alike. Yeah. There's plenty of talented cartoon and video game voice actors out there. Just have them do an anthology, just Unfinished Tales. Because like I heard the original like Alien Free done as a audible drama. I wasn't really digging it, but I was at least glad that, hey, here's something for other fans who want a different version of this. I mean, it's just like when you can offer, we keep talking about Blade Runner. There's, again, 5 versions of that movie. I like that. Let people decide which version of the movie they're comfortable with instead of, oh, you can only get this version or that copy.
Yeah.
There's
20 different versions of Blade Runner out there, you know?
Right. If we can have many versions of Kovacs on screen, why can't we have many versions of the movie or show that we love?
For sure.
I mean, Battlestar Galactica does that.
The day that we get Event Horizon.
There you go. The uncut version. The
original Event Horizon script would be nice. Or cut.
Yeah, do a comic book adapting the script or something.
I heard Amazon picked it up, I heard, as a show. I heard that, but I don't know if it's true.
Oh, that's interesting.
Somebody also just picked up 13 Ghosts.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, we're going into hard sci-fi horror territory here, guys. Like, there is so much stuff that is just coming out now where now people want to see all these movies they grew up loving and see an actual, like, the uncut version of them. And yeah, I'm for it. Because if you can have this many versions of Kovacs, if you can have this many versions of these movies and shows, and the studios aren't going to ever release those director's cuts, you might as well just find a different mode to just kind of explore what wasn't made.
Although I'm not sure if I'm on board with the Harry Potter coming out again. I just don't even want to think about it.
Oh,
right,
are
now
they remaking that?
Yeah, it's going to be like a shade in purple.
Interesting.
No cats, no Harry Potter here.
Yeah.
Interesting. I can see that being done, but it's still going to divide people.
Yes, definitely. I'm a book fan, so I just don't even want to think about it right now.
Yeah.
Well, where can we find you two on the interwebs? You're very active in various Facebook groups. And, all hail the power of geekdom.
Yeah. Yes. Love everything. I just love everything. Everything is just amazing. I'm on Facebook, and I admin the 2 Altered Carbon Facebook groups.
All right, great.
Absolutely.
Okay, I have the Missing Collection, and it's the _missing_collection on Instagram and this Facebook group, and I also admin the Screen Use Prop group. Otherwise, I think I'm just a drifter.
Wonderful. Check it out.
I'm a rebel, man.
But on Facebook, it's just the Missing Collection. No, just spaces. But
Missing Collection. You heard it.
Cool. Thank you.
Anytime, guys.
Yeah. It was fun.
No shortage here, and we'll have you back on definitely in the future. We've talked back and forth on some of the private messaging and everything. But for those who heard this, hopefully, if you haven't already checked it out, if you're wanting to rewatch it, but skeptical as to what episodes you like or dislike, we're all here for everything with the words AC in it. You know?
Watch it for the naked sword.
I might get your boyfriend or girlfriend to watch it. I don't know. Absolutely. Man. Okay, man. You guys rock this.
All right.
Thank you so much.
Anytime.
Yeah, thanks.
We'll return after these messages.
The Jacked Up Review Show podcast is honored to be part of the Blind Knowledge Podcast Network. Join anytime, talk the talk, and enjoy yourselves. There's something enlightening for everyone with this crowd of cool cats. Check them out.
Hey, it's Brent Pope, the host of Breakfast with Brent Pope. You've seen me on some of your favorite TV shows saying things like, "Give it up, Jimmy. You got to sink this putt to win." On Breakfast with Brent Pope, I sit down with guests from the entertainment world and we do it all over breakfast. Or should I say Breakfast? Every week on Breakfast, you get inside Hollywood info and tips, great breakfast recs and booty debates. Most of all, you get the most delightful 30 minutes of your week. So dig in. It's Breakfast time. Listen at Breakfast.com, Apple Podcasts, or wherever fine podcasts are found.
Do you ever find yourself thinking about who would win in a fight between Goku and Superman? Hi, I'm James Gavsey, and on the Who Would Win show, me and my co-host Ray ignore anything important happening in the outside world and debate fictional battles between characters from comics, movies, and video games.
We got a new show every week, and almost always am I the winner.
Yeah, not true, Ray.
In the past, we've discussed such matches as Captain America versus Darth Vader, Solid Snake versus the Iron Giant, classic matchups like RoboCop versus Terminator, and even the Muppets versus Sesame Street.
That one was crazy. So if you're a fan of geek culture and love a spirited debate, check out the Who Would Win show wherever you get your podcasts, or check us out at whowouldwinshow.com.
Follow us on the web on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. The podcast is available on Podbean, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Anchor, Apple, and anywhere else podcasts are available. Feel free to review our show and leave comments on any of those sites. Thanks a million for listening. It's a Jacked Up.